Bibles and go with us to Luke chapter 7 this morning. Well, I appreciate how God's been moving. He's been moving in this place the last few weeks and in an unusual way. And I want him to keep doing that, don't you? He's just been working. And we're blessed to go to church and not just hear truth preached or taught or sung about, but to go to church and know that God is working and moving. And I want to preach a few minutes this morning from Luke chapter 7, if you'll stand with us. Appreciate every song that's been sung this morning, every testimony that's been given, everyone that has came to the altar this morning. I appreciate you coming and letting God help you this morning. Luke chapter 7 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither though I thought myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto thee, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick." Father, I ask you this morning, God, to take the message and speak to our hearts. Thank you for your presence already. And I pray that you'd help us today, save the lost and reclaim the backslid and encourage the discouraged. And Father, for what you do this morning, we'll be careful to give you all the honor and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want you to notice in this text this morning that this is a story that is about authority. And when we think about the authority that is given in this text here, we look at this text this morning, and when we see this authority, there is a different authority that is mentioned here, a designed authority, should I say, and it is that one of this centurion. He mentions his authority in verse number 8, how that he said, "I am a man set under authority, and having under me soldiers." And so we see this soldier's authority here, that it is a detailed authority as he mentions it here. And then there is a delegated authority in verse number 2. The centurion's servant here is mentioned. The servant had a certain amount of authority that was given to him by the centurion. It was delegated to him, and he was very dear to his heart. And the Bible said that he was sick and he was ready to die. But I want to say there is another authority in this text here, and it is a divine authority. Amen. It is authority that goes beyond the centurion. It goes beyond the servant. And this is the Savior's authority. Amen. What our text proves this morning is that Jesus can do what no other can do. And that when our authority runs out and when our authority is limited, we serve a God that is not limited this morning. He knows no boundaries. He knows no limitations this morning. And there is never anything in life that you and I are ever going to face that what God is not able to solve it or take care of it. Amen. In fact, if you read on in this chapter, it is a chapter that proves that Jesus has the authority over disease, that he has authority over death, that he has authority over devils. Amen. He said in one passage, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Amen. I'm going to tell you, he had power before this chapter, he had power in this chapter, and he has power after this chapter. The same Jesus that I'm preaching this morning is the same Jesus we read about in this text, and he has as much power in 2024 as he ever has had and as he ever will have. He is an all-powerful
and all-knowing God. What this passage proves this morning is it teaches us three great lessons. It teaches us humility, overcoming pride, because this centurion laid his pride aside and he allowed humility to take its way so that God could work. And then it also teaches us about faith, overcoming doubt. He did not let the situation of the servant hinder him from sending word to Jesus. He had faith in spite of the circumstances. The Bible said that the servant was sick and he was ready to die. But in spite of the doubt, he still exercised faith. And so it teaches humility over pride and faith over doubt. And then it teaches us about grace overcoming need. Amen. Because grace was greater than what the need was. Amen. I'm telling you, you may have a need and I may have a need. And as I look across the church, I would assume this morning there's more needs than we would ever care to talk about. I'm going to tell you, in spite of how great the needs are, I want to tell you there's great grace. There's abundant grace. There's much grace. And there's more grace because he is the God of all grace this morning. He's able to help my need and he's able to help your need this morning because he is a gracious God. Amen. I want to draw your attention for just a few moments to verse number 6. And I want you to see this little phrase here. The Bible said, then Jesus went with them. And I want to preach a few minutes on that subject this morning on the answer is on the way. Because I want to tell you there's a problem in this text that is beyond anyone's capability. But the very fact that Jesus is on his way, friend, he is the answer. Amen. He not only has the answer, but he is the answer. All he has to do is show up. Amen. And whatever the need is, he's able to meet the need. Whatever the supply is, the provision that's needed, he can supply and provide whatever. It doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter the overwhelming problem. It may be out of everybody else's hands, but it's never out of his hands. It may be out of their reach, but it's not beyond his reach. It may be beyond their capability, but it's not beyond his capability. It may be beyond what they can see, but it's not beyond what he can see. It may be beyond what they can do, but it's not beyond what he can do. And the same God that's able to do that for him, he's able to do it for you, and he's able to do it for me. I'm here to tell you the answer. It is on the way. Hallelujah. All the centurion had to do was wait on God. You say, I don't know what to do. Just do what he's doing. Well, preacher, it's coming down to the wire. It's coming down to the wire in this text. Amen. There's a lot of people saying it ain't going to get no better. There's a lot of people saying it ain't going to get no better in this text. Amen. Now, I want to tell you this morning, all he has to do is show up. And he can even look like he shows up late. But he's the only one who can look like he's late and still be right on time. Amen. I'm telling you, he can go from bad to worse. But when he shows up, it'll go from worse to better. Amen. Because he fixes everything. And this morning I want you to think about this centurion. And in this text, the chapter begins with Jesus rewarding this officer. And I want you to notice, first of all, three little things, and I'll be through. Number one, I want you to see what he requests from Jesus. In the first five verses, we notice the city is important in verse number one, because the Bible said that when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, notice the Bible said he entered into Capernaum. Capernaum is one of those cities that saw more mighty works than any other, but yet they chose not to believe. And so Jesus is going to do something great on some ground this morning of doubt and ground that would not believe. But you know, just because society rejects Jesus, it doesn't mean everybody has to. And just because everybody else isn't believing, it doesn't mean you can't believe. And so the city is important this morning. I would say the case is important. In verse number 2, a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and he was ready to die. It's a pretty bad case here in this text. I mean, here we got a servant or a centurion who has a servant, and he's on an unbelieving ground. He's in Capernaum, a city that would not believe Christ for who he said he was. And the case goes from bad to worse because this servant is sick and he's ready to die. He's helpless and he's hopeless. But notice the call in verse verse number 3. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. What this crowd was looking for was Jesus to respond on the basis of merit. They said, this man is worthy because he loves us and he's built us a synagogue. And these Jews was building everything based off merit. But Jesus don't operate on merit. I want you to know in verse 6, when it said Jesus went with him, he was not going because of anything this man had done. He was not going because of who this man was. He was going because he was merciful. He was going on the basis of mercy. I want to tell you this morning, whatever God does in my life, whatever he does in your life, it's not because of anything we've done. It's not because of who we are, but it's because of who he is, and it's because of what he's done. He is a merciful God. You say, I'm not worthy of God hearing any prayers of mine. I'm telling you, none of us are worthy this morning, but thank God we pray to a God who is merciful, who is worthy, who is willing, who is wanting to help us if we'll cry out to him. Amen. And this morning we see what he requested from Jesus. Then I want you to see, secondly, what he reveals about Jesus. Look at verse number 6 down to verse number 8. When he gets to where this man is, the first thing I want you to see is his adoration toward Jesus. The Bible said that when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him saying, Lord, trouble not thyself. He said, for I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. You see, even though the centurion's servants thought he was worthy, this man knew that he was not worthy. He adored Jesus in such a way that he didn't feel like he was worthy to be in his presence. You know, I'm glad Jesus knows everything. Amen. You see, he knew in spite of what they were saying to him, he already knew the attitude of this man's heart. He did not come, had this man sent and said, Lord, would you come? I built a synagogue and I'm a pretty good feller. I don't think Jesus would have responded to that too well. But when this crowd was trying to tell him how wonderful he was, I'm glad he already knew the heart of this centurion and said, you know what? I'll go not because of what they said. I'll go because I know how this man feels. Amen. I'm telling you, he knows every thought that passes through our mind. He knows our heart. He knows our intentions. He knows our motive. I'm going to tell you, he knew how this man felt about him, and how we view God has everything to do with what God is going to do in our life. Amen. He had the right view of Jesus. I see his adoration, how he reveals Jesus, and I see his ability. He talks about in verse number 7, look, he said, but say, notice this, in a word. I like that phrase, don't you? And my servant shall be healed. He said, Lord, there's no need for you to trouble you. I'm not worthy to have you under my roof, and I'm not even worthy to be in your presence. But he said, I tell you where, he knew where the power was. Amen. He knew where the power was going to come from. You say, where? He said, all he needed was one word. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, you know where the power is this morning? It's in the word of God. Amen. And faith is always in the word of God. And this man, this centurion's faith was in the word of what Jesus would say. He knew that Jesus had the power. He didn't need to touch that servant physically. He didn't need to show up. He didn't need to make some big spectacle. He knew that Jesus, he knew there was power in the words of Jesus. And if Jesus said it so, he knew it would be so. I'm going to tell you, the ability this morning is still in the word of God. If you and I will put faith in the word of God, if we'll trust the word of God will strengthen us. The word of God will settle us. The word of God will help us. What comforts us in the hard times of life, it's his word. What saved our soul was his word. What keeps us going is his word. Don't trust the circumstances of life. Don't trust the arm of the flesh, but trust the word of God. The word of God will never fail. Amen. When I can't see, the songwriter said, I must believe. And this morning, what I must believe is this book and what God has said. When you can't see what God is doing, just trust what God said. What he reveals about Jesus is his adoration, his ability, and then his authority. He said, for I'm a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And he revealed by his own example the little authority that he had and how it worked. And he understood that the Lord had a greater authority. You realize this morning that all God has to do to change the circumstances in our life is just say a word. When he walked out on the bow of that ship, when it looked like they were about to sink, Jesus wasn't nervous. He didn't need a lucky charm. He didn't need a magic wand. He said, peace, be still. And the waves laid down at his feet, and the wind ceased to blow, and there was a calm. As quick as there was a storm, there was a calm. Amen. I'm telling you, storms come in our life, and hard times come in our life, and valleys come in our life, and God may allow them to be so for a while, but you just hang on, child of God. You keep trusting, you keep believing. All he has to do is say one word, and the storm will lay down. I'm telling you, it doesn't take God forever. It doesn't take him a day. It doesn't take him an hour to fix our situation. One word, and he can settle everything. Thank God, I'm glad he's got a power in his word this morning. What he reveals about Jesus, what he requests from Jesus, and then finally, notice this with me this morning, what he receives from Jesus. The first thing he received from Jesus was his attention. When Jesus heard these things, notice this, he marveled at him. You know, our Lord marveled at two things while he was here on earth. He marveled at faith, and then he marveled at unbelief. And he marveled at faith and how that some men could have so much faith, having no knowing so little and seeing so little, if anything at all. And how that some men could have such unbelief, having seen all that they have seen and heard all that they had heard. And in this text, this centurion, all he had to do was hear, the Bible says in verse number 3, and when he heard of Jesus, he heard of Jesus. And the desperate situation, he calls for desperate measures. And he said, somebody said, if you just go talk to Jesus about this. I think about that song that said, just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. A few years ago, I was in a church and somebody said, we ought to change that to just a long talk. Well, sometimes we need a long talk, but if you understand what the songwriter said, sometimes you don't have time for a long talk, amen? And sometimes I don't even know how to talk long to him, amen? I'll tell you, it just takes a little talk with Jesus, and it'll make it right. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes it's a short prayer. Sometimes it's a quick prayer. Sometimes it's in a moment. It's in an instant. But I'm telling you, a little cry, I'm glad he can hear that cry, and it'll get his attention. Hey, you know what? He's sitting on ready this morning. You're not going to have to worry about trying to run the Lord down. You're not going to have to worry about trying to get his attention this morning. He's willing, ready, and able. All you got to do is cry, Abba, Father. He's looking in your direction this morning. If you cry, he will hear. Hallelujah. He wants to help us. He's willing to help us. He's just waiting to help us. And he got his attention. Jesus marveled at his faith. You know, if the Lord is going to be impressed with anything in our life, that's what it's going to be this morning. It won't be our ability or our talent or our accomplishments, but it'll be our faith. And I see that he received his attention. He received his announcement. Notice he turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Jesus made an impression on this man, but can you believe this? He made an impression on Jesus to the point that Jesus said, I want to make an announcement about this man. I've not seen so great faith in all of Israel. That a man who has not seen me, a man who didn't even need to be in my presence, believed the power of my word, that if I would speak in such dark, gloomy situation that looked almost hopeless, that it could be turned around just by the power of my word. I'm going to tell you, that thrills my soul this morning. There's no night too dark. There's no valley too deep. There's no problem too big. There's no sorrow or pain too deep that what God, with just one word, can turn it in a different direction this morning. Every one of us has seen that happen. If you just look back through your life, has there not been times when it looked like there was absolutely no way, and it seemed like there was absolutely no hope, and it looked like things could not be turned around? But what you didn't know, in that hour of desperate plea, in that hour when you shed your tears and you cried, not knowing what would happen, and it looked like this would happen, what we did not know is that the answer was on the way. I'm telling you, Daniel prayed, and for 21 days it looked like the heavens were brass. I'm telling you, when the answer got there, they said, Daniel, we want you to know that hell withstood it. But immediately when you called, the answer was on the way. But thank God, God always gets the victory. Heaven always wins, and hell always loses, and we always come out on the other side. I'm telling you, I feel some good this morning. I feel some good in my soul just to know that we serve a God, that we are hearers and helpers when we pray. Amen. I want to make an announcement this morning along with our Lord that faith always works. Faith always wins if we'll trust this morning. And then finally, look at verse 10 and we're done. I want you to see the answer. He received his attention, his announcement, but he received the answer. And they that were sent, returning to the house, notice this, they found the servant whole that had been sick. I'm telling you, you know what makes me want to shout about verse 10? Is that them servants were running as hard as they could to bring the answer, but the answer got there before they did. Amen. I'm telling you, the answer beat them to the house. I mean, they couldn't wait to get there to tell him, but too late when they got there. I'm telling you, he stole their thunder. Amen. I'm telling you, before they took their first footstep to go tell what Jesus said, it already been done on the other side. Can you imagine being in that house and around that servant, him about ready to draw his last breath, and they went out to tell Jesus, don't come in, I'm not even worthy. And all of a sudden, amen, I'm telling you, sitting up on the side of the bed, and that man knew immediately, amen, that the master has heard my prayer. The master has heard my cry. I'm telling you this morning, the answer beat them home. And there've been some times in our life when we didn't know which way to turn and which way to look. But thank God, in our heartache and in our pain, I'm glad there is a God that can send a quick answer. Amen. He didn't even have time to hear it announced. He already knew. Can you imagine when they walked in the door and they saw him, they didn't have to say a word. The situation had been changed. You know, there's something this morning, and like with everybody, I'm no different. There's something this morning that I need God to do. And it could be big, it could be small. I have no idea. But I asked the Lord this morning, I said, God, would you hear my prayer? And I know this morning that he's heard my prayer. I know this morning that I can talk to him in confidence. He always hears my prayer. I don't say that this morning boasting, but he always hears my prayer. Not because I'm faithful, but because he's faithful. Not because I know how to pray, Brother Samuel, but because he knows how to answer. Not because I can do anything, but because he can do everything. Not because I'm strong, because I'm not, I'm weak. Because he's strong this morning. Prayer takes on a different meaning when you know it's more about him than it is about you. All we have to do is, they sung all about it this morning and they had no idea what I was preaching on. But God lined every one of them songs up that way. This morning, all you have to do is pray. What if I don't get the answer that I'm looking for? It'll be all right. Because he's the answer this morning. He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Let's stand this morning. Many have already come. I don't know if you need to come this morning. You may need to come a second time. I don't know. But our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You just do what the Holy Ghost tells you this morning. You got a need, you got a burden, you got a situation. Do you feel that God wants you to come this morning and pray? Then if you do, then come. He is the answer. So what if I don't get it? It'll be on the way. You just wait. You just wait on God. He will do what He said He would do. He's a faithful God. He'll never let you down. He'll never disappoint you. And He will never do you wrong this morning if you just trust Him this morning. We'll sing a verse or two. Folks are coming.